Oh, okay. Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and at Health and Wellness Australia and New Zealand, we have a team of naturopaths all over Australia and New Zealand who specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. And joining me on the podcast today is our Brisbane naturopath and PAT practitioner, Belinda, as she started on a new business venture into the allergy-friendly cleaning space. So, Belinda, do you want to start us off and tell us a bit about your journey of how you ended up here?
Yeah. So, as you said, I'm a naturopath, which I still am practicing naturopath, still doing the positive association technique. So that hasn't changed. But I guess the lead-in to the allergy-friendly cleaning was that I couldn't find that myself. So I had had cleaners in the past. They would continually kind of use products that I didn't really want to have in my house. The standard of the cleaning probably wasn't what I was after from a health perspective, you know, like minimizing dust and allergens in the house. I wasn't overly happy with that. And knowing how much that affects the health of families and the impact it has on allergies and all of that sort of stuff, it was just something I found was really missing and I think needed to be done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So what might some people be surprised to learn about this indoor air pollution, we call it, so versus those sort of outdoor air pollution we know with exhaust fumes and that kind of stuff? What's actually happening inside our own homes?
Yeah. So, you know, without kind of, because if you start to go down the Google rabbit hole, you can start to get scared about being in your own house, really. And like, that's not what I'm about. Like, you don't want to increase the stress around all of this, but there are things that you can easily improve in your own home that can make such a difference. So, the things you want to think about are that you can change. Is the clutter in the house. So if there's a lot of clutter, a lot of dust collecting, a lot more likelihood of dust mites, mold, and all of that kind of stuff, which is a big trigger for some people. You do have, you know, things that you probably, with furniture, carpets, you know, all of that, which we have to have in our house. You've got to have all these things in your house, right? They do put off a lot of VOCs, there's formaldehyde, there's all kinds of stuff that are, you know, being put off this furniture and products. But my thing is change what you can change, which can make such a big difference without worrying about all the things that you can't change. The products you're using, because obviously a lot of products are not, yes, they can be eco-friendly even, but not necessarily health or allergy friendly. So we'll talk about a lot of those things as well. But yeah, that's my focus, is changing what you can change, which makes a really big difference to the health of your home.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because you can kind of get caught up, and a lot of people on Instagram, it's a lot of fear mongering, you know, this is what's in your home, you should be worried and all of that. The reality is our lives overall are a bit more toxic than maybe they were 50 or 100 years ago, but all we can do is help to lessen the load on our system anywhere we can without causing too much stress, because that's a whole nother issue as well.
Which is even worse, I think.
Yes, 100%. So I like that attitude. And when we're talking about allergies in particular, what would you say are the most common indoor allergy triggers that you have come across and work with as well?
Yeah. So dust and dust mites are, as far as I'm aware, the biggest trigger in the world, actually. Yeah, so, and we do a lot of those treatments with positive association technique as well, right? And with my allergy clients and my eczema clients, it's a big trigger for a lot of people.
Yeah.
What you will see if you are sensitive to dust is a lot of that respiratory type stuff, issues with tonsils, sleep quality, snoring, all of that kind of thing. Absolutely, you can have eczema can be triggered and things like that as well, but you see that a lot of that respiratory type stuff happening.
Yeah.
And that is something you can absolutely have it. You can't get rid of dust completely, but you can have a massive impact on how much exposure there is. One, by keeping the environment decluttered and clean as possible. And then by managing humidity as well, because humidity has a big impact on dust, the amount of dust and dust mites there are present.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So dust mites is one of the most common reactions we see across all our clinics. And for anyone who might be listening along for the first time, I'll give you a bit of a run through of what our PAT sessions actually involve. So we have naturopaths like Belinda here working all over Australia and New Zealand. And what the sessions involve is using a form of muscle testing or kinesiology to help assess your reactions to a whole range of different foods like common gluten and dairy, as well as salicylates and amines. Those airborne like dust mites or mold, as well as chemicals such as fragrances, esters and aldehydes that we mentioned earlier too. And the treatment's really gentle and easy. It's basically stimulating acupressure points down the back while you're holding onto a sample vial of that substance, and it helps to retrain the body to no longer have that big reaction to the substance and to help relieve those symptoms. So dust mites is a very common first treatment that we do, as you know, Belinda. And one common question I get when we do talk about dust mites with clients, they'll say, but I'm cleaning, I'm doing everything. Like, is it actually possible to avoid them completely? What are your thoughts?
No, I don't think so. And you're not trying to, I don't think. So you have to also think about with exposures, you have to think about normal exposure to most things is good. Mm. Some exposure is building your tolerance. Mm-hmm. So your immune system does have to have exposure and will obviously have exposure to things like dust. And we can get to this more, but mold, there is mold. You're not just trying to get rid of it. It is everywhere. You're never going to get away from it. But yeah, there is a normal exposure is healthy, right? Mm. But people can become sensitive for a whole variety of reasons, but higher exposure is going to lead to more problems, obviously. So keeping levels down is what we're trying to do. And cleaning, yes, 100%. That's what we want to do. But there's things that I do find that people maybe aren't doing that they can think about. So one of the first things is, are you wearing shoes in your house? Most of that dust is coming in from the outside. Mm-hmm. Dust, but also what else is on those shoes? Everything. They don't even want to think about it, actually, probably.
Doesn't they take a swab and they see what grows? I'd be very curious to see what they found.
It's the kind of, you know, some things are just better you don't know. I think that's that kind of thing. Not wearing shoes in the house. I believe the data is like, if you don't wear shoes in the house, you can cut dust by about 50%.
Wow, that's actually quite a bit.
Yeah. So that's one thing. And a lot of people do. I mean, especially you got kids, and I don't know how many times in a week I say take your shoes off and they don't. Like, still, there's only so much you can do. But and then things like talking about humidity before. So dust mites love humidity. So the more humidity there is, and if you live in Sydney, Central Coast, Brisbane, up higher, it is humid. Like, that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. So you're just trying to manage the humidity that you can manage. I'll talk about that a bit later because there's a bunch of stuff there too. But vacuuming your bed. Mm. So the places where dust builds up, there's a lot of skin cells, a lot going on your beds, right? So when you change your sheets each week, wash them in hot water for starters, because you'll kill dust mites when you're putting them in that hot above about 55, 60 degrees. And then vacuum your bed as well. You'd be surprised how much stuff comes out of those sheets. So that's really important. And then behind everything, like if you're not getting under and behind your, on the skirtings behind your bed, a lot of buildup happens around there where you're spending 8 hours a night breathing.
Yeah. And we see that classic presentation, especially in bed and when we're waking up, is when you have that first thing in the morning congestion, itchy, swollen eyes. It's just such a classic dust mite reaction that we can spot right away.
Yeah. And how many people, I don't know if you see it in the other clinics as well, but I know in mine, you know, people are telling you this exact stuff and you can see what's happening and you say, how often do you, you know, change your sheets? How often do you,
whenever I can.
Yeah. So just doing that, regardless, I mean, the PAT treatments are amazing to reduce it anyway, but just doing those things consistently, huge difference.
And it comes back to that loading you were talking about. So when we are that sensitive allergic type, or we have maybe autoimmune conditions or something like eczema, any way you can reduce that load is going to help you get relief for longer from the PAT sessions as well to help, so you don't need to come in for top-ups as often, and it's going to, yeah, be just a combination of the two is key. Yeah. Mm, yeah. So should we get on to mold now? I have quite a few juicy questions for you.
Yeah.
So yeah,
you'll be surface level kind of discussion because there's just so many things. So I don't want to get too far off track.
Yes. We won't go too far off the deep end.
Yeah. But again, what you're trying to do with mold, so I know a lot of people, I mean, this is what I see online and stuff all the time, right? Obviously, everyone's trying to sell a product and you know, all that kind of stuff. So what, all these things that kill mold, whether it's like a chemical type product or natural, you know, clove, oil and vinegar and this and that, all those things. You're not really trying to kill mold. Like if you're a sensitive person, dead mold can still absolutely be a health hazard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So killing it is not really the solution. What we're trying to do is find it, remove it. You know, so depending on the extent of the problem you think you might have, then obviously you can get people in to actually look into that properly for you. But if we're just talking about at home, what can you do? We need to remove it and then remove this as much of the food source. So mold needs moisture and it needs a food source to even grow, right? Yeah. So we're trying to manage the level of moisture in the house as much as possible, because if you remove it, but then nothing changes, it comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
So within 24 to 48 hours, by the way.
Wow. So, I didn't realize it was that quick.
Yeah. That's how quick. So if you have a moisture source, you want it dried within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
Mm. And then removing it. You know, your house itself is a food source, so we can't do, you know, too much about that. When we look at, you know, tiling, ceilings, all, you know, all of that stuff, that's sort of separate to this conversation. But the food source, as in the clutter, the dust, the buildup of dust is a food source for mold. The more dust there is, the more mold you can potentially have if there's moisture as well.
Yes.
So if you've got non-porous surfaces like windows, metal surfaces, window tracks, all of that kind of thing, it's not porous. So if there is mold on that surface, you clean it off, it's gone. It hasn't entered the material. It is just gone.
Yeah.
So all you're trying to do there is keep the condensation down. So if there's condensation on your windows, where is that coming from? So that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And then are they dusty and dirty? You keep the dust down, you keep the moisture down, and there will be no mold on those surfaces.
Yeah.
If you have a more porous surfaces like books, cushions, things like that, if they end up with mold on them, you're not killing it. You're throwing those things away. They've got to go. Unfortunately, that goes for like lounges and things like that too, which becomes a bit more of a thing, I suppose, but because that's obviously more expensive to replace a lounge.
Yeah.
Mind you, if you're leaving it there, it becomes a bigger problem for the whole house as well. So
it can sort of cause it to grow in other places too.
Yeah, because it's not just staying where it is. It will migrate through the house potentially, depending on what else is going on. So, the thing we're trying to do is find any that we can find, remove it. All you need is soapy water and a dry cloth.
Yeah.
Wash it off. You don't need any kind of special product because it's not going to really make any difference anyway. You will remove it with soapy water and you wipe it dry. And then try and keep things dry and clean. That's what you're trying to do.
And I think, like you said, the key is finding the source of where the moisture is coming from. So we've worked with quite a few clients who do have that heavy mold exposure. Maybe they've developed sears or mold biotoxin illness, and it's usually a leak they didn't know about. So it's often hidden areas of mold, or they've done renovations and then they pull it back and realize that there's mold in certain places they didn't realize. But I think a lot of awareness is growing because of a lot of people who have experienced this now. And it's not just black mold, like how they used to say black mold is the toxic mold. What are your thoughts on that?
It's most mold you can't see. So you cannot see most mold. So black mold is Stachybotrys species, which is probably what people are generally talking about with that. That is a problem. But you can have the exact same species of mold in the same room of a house and it's different colors. One is black, one you cannot see. It's the same mold, depending on the surface it's on. So whether you can see it or not, unfortunately, is not the whether it's bad mold or okay, or, you know, there's a lot of it or not. When you actually get someone in to have a look at that, which is, you know, something we do for some people, but not everyone has to go down this road, you know, but you need air samples, you need tape samples, you need to sample it, because the color of it doesn't tell you anything about what it is.
Exactly.
And nor does the presence of mold necessarily indicate the risk, right? So you have individual risk between people.
Yes.
So yes, you have the people that have SIRS or, you know, more serious issues. And there's genetic reasons why that can happen. There's other health. So if you're, you know, digestion, you got chronic constipation, genetic issues, you know, bile flow is not good, that sort of stuff, you're much more likely to have problems, right? Someone else could live in that same house and really not suffer that much at all. So there's individual, you know, differences. Then there's the risk of the mold itself. Where is it? So like if you have a little bit of mold in the grout of your shower, that's not a health hazard. That's not why people are getting sick.
Yeah.
So it's much more serious that the stuff that you're kind of talking about, the more serious stuff from leaks under carpets, under vinyl that's been stuck down because now the water can't get out of that plastic that's just built up under the surface. You don't know about that unless you get someone in to actually look at it properly. But then we've just got normal sort of fungal particulate in the house, which is not necessarily health hazard. You're not trying to get rid of it. You can think of your home that almost the same way as you think of your own like gut microbiome, skin microbiome. Your home has a microbiome. Like it does, and it's meant to. We just want it to be a healthy one. Yes. So we don't want it to be one too much of anything. So that's something you know, if someone's testing, they're looking at the amount of particles in the air, for example. So if it's really high, where is this? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from, you know, behind the bed? Mm-hmm. Is it coming from under the carpet somewhere? Where is it coming from?
Yeah.
But you will have, you know, in areas of the house where, like in corners of the room, the humidity travels in the house. So there's areas where you want to look at that can be potential problems, but don't have to be. If you've got a little bit of mold in the corners of your rooms, it's not necessarily a health hazard because that's where the humidity is. That's where things are going to build up. You clean it up off the tiles. Okay. It's done, you know? So there's presence of mold and there's risk to health.
Yes.
So the thing that you're kind of looking for is your amount. So how much is there? Is it more than it should be? The balance, like you want diversity like you want in your digestive system. Like, so there should be a good balance and it shouldn't be overrun by high levels of water damage molds.
Yes.
So you've got, there are worse molds and there are not as bad molds, you know, so your water damage molds are the ones that are going to cause more problems, especially at those high levels, and you don't want them taking over the microbiome of your house, basically.
Yeah. I really like that analogy that you're kind of thinking of the house like you would your gut. These things are going to be there. It's not about cleaning absolutely everything. And another example is the molds that live in our sinuses. So we all have like Alternaria, Aspergillus often lives in the sinuses, but it only causes issues for people who have sensitivities or reactions to it, and that can cause them symptoms. But then for the rest of us, it happily lives in our nasal microbiome. So
you're covered in bacteria, right? Everything is like, we're not, it's a kind of antibacterial, anti-everything kind of thought that we're trying to get rid of stuff.
Yes.
This stuff is also protective. Like you have you need that to be protective in a healthy environment. You're not trying to kill everything off all the time.
That's what I was going to ask as well. When it comes to using certain cleaning products, there is that movement towards that sort of hyperfixation on getting rid of all bacteria. It advertises gets rid of 99.99%. Like, what are your thoughts on using those kind of products in your home? Does it disturb this balance?
Yeah, I don't. None of that.
Yeah.
I don't use any of that kind of thing in my own home personally or with our in our clients' homes. Because again, you're not trying to kill everything. So, and also it is actually an issue. So from a naturopathic perspective, exposure to antimicrobial substances is affecting your gut bacteria, your skin bacteria, everything. Yeah. So when you the issue there too is when you start to kill things off, you leave space, they are going to come back. Something will come back, right? So you're leaving space then, if you're killing off good bacteria too, you're leaving space for problematic pathogenic type bacterias and fungal particulate to take over. Because then they don't have the protection from the good bacteria as much. So you're trying to avoid antibacterial stuff.
Yeah. And that's all part of that hygiene hypothesis, which is one of the leading theories around why allergies are more common now compared to say 100 or 50 years ago, is because we're not teaching our immune systems what's something to have a normal reaction to versus an overreaction to. Yeah. So I think this definitely plays into it. And we'll start to talk a bit more about the common chemicals that are also used in cleaning products. Which of those can be problematic for these sensitive people as well?
So many. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many. It's crazy. But, I mean, the main thing I'm always, you know, you need to remove, because you also want to think about the things that are easy. This is always also my focus, is what is easy for people to remove. It doesn't make any difference to, it doesn't make life harder. It doesn't, you know, you can take fragrances out of your home, synthetic fragrances or even natural fragrances, because they're not that natural. Out of your home, very easily. There's so many products that don't have fragrances that do work just as well. And fragrance is a massive trigger for allergies.
Yeah, 100%. And this is something we talked more about on the last episode we did, when we were talking about skincare products. Even if they call them natural, you can still have essential oils or other fragrances, which can be quite triggering too. And it's also about, so when it comes to who's going to be looking to get this cleaning service done, what comes to mind for me is when we were talking about the dust mites and the molds, a lot of our clients do struggle when they do these big cleans, it actually sets off their symptoms as well. So I think this would be so beneficial for them to be able to get assistance for that. When else do you see people using this service most?
Yeah. So, and one of the things we do, which we're doing one next week, doing a 3-day clean of a house, just doing everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's not so much like you want someone to help you all the time necessarily. It's just, and I mean, I wouldn't want to turn the camera in my house either. Like sometimes it just gets too much. There's too many things going on. Like we've all got kids to look after and houses to look after, jobs, and trying to maybe do something fun in amongst there somewhere, you know. There's just not much time to maintain your house, especially if you're sensitive and you need it, you know, maybe maintain that bit better as well to avoid symptoms. Just don't have time. So, and sometimes it's getting it to a standard, you know, a better standard, so that then you can, because maintenance is easier than, you know, when it's just everything, like, where do I start? You know, not even knowing where you would start. And maintaining is a bit easier. And also, to be honest, I mean, for me, I am that person. That's why it exists, right? Like, I'm like, one, do I even have time to be doing this all the time? Two, I want someone who understands what it means to have a healthy house.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do here, without me having to go, oh, can you not use that? Because actually that's no good for your hormones. Or can you know, you know, without having to try and get someone to do that or understand it. That's exactly what I wanted someone to do for me. And I couldn't get that, you know.
And I agree. It's like if we went to go buy all these good products and using the HEPA filters and all the top end things, it'd be quite the investment to do that for your own home. I almost feel like it'd be more financially viable to hire someone to do these deep cleans.
So if you even think about it, so HEPA filter is something we use. So we never use what's in someone's home. We always take everything with us, because then it maintains a standard that we're trying to maintain, right? I mean, if you're using a vac, if you're a sensitive person, everyone, but especially if you're a sensitive person, if you're not using a HEPA filter in your house, what is happening is everything that doesn't get caught up in that vacuum is being pushed. So all the small particles, bits of mold, dust, mite, particles, pollen, everything, is getting kicked up into the air. It'll sit there for about 6 hours and you'll breathe it all in. So you're probably feeling worse than you did before you cleaned, and it'll settle back down on the floor.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
If you're HEPA filtering, you keep all that in the vacuum and it goes, yeah, it'll come back. Yes, some things come back, of course, because that's the world. But you're keeping it in there. This is one of the problems with more vulnerable people, children, elderly people as well, and sick people, but children are crawling around on the floor. They're consuming what's on the floor. So not only are they just walking around, breathing in whatever there is, they're on it, touching it, eating it, putting their mouth on it. Everything that is there is going in and out and everywhere on them.
Yeah.
So they're much more, and, you know, from a developmental stage as well, much more sensitive to that kind of thing. So it's really important to think about those things. That alone can make a big difference to symptoms.
Yeah, and also especially if there's pets in the home as well.
Oh, yeah.
To be bringing so much more in, let alone the shoes.
Yeah.
You're looking at pollens and grasses as well as the allergenic compounds on the pet itself as well. Yeah. And anyone who's had a cat may have noticed if they go into somewhere behind a couch or under the bed and come out covered in dust and you're like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And we know from doing the cat treatments, right, that someone will say, oh, it's my dog. My dog, you know, my dog triggers my allergies. And then we will check that and it's not adding up. Mm. But the dog is running around in the trees, on the grass, and the pollen, wherever, and bringing that in. So you might think it's the dog. It's actually everything that's all over the dog.
Yeah, mites, the pollens. We almost always have to do those whenever we're working with those pet reactions as well. So can you tell us a bit more about the areas that you're currently servicing, what's on the horizon with this as well? Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so we are, and the clinic is located in Gaythorne, which is that sort of northwest Brisbane. That's the sort of area we service, I guess, the 10 Ks around that ish roundabout. It's exciting because I feel like, yeah, it's something that people, this is not for me. This is not really a clean. I'm not doing this because people need their house cleaned, right? Mm. Like, there's cleaning businesses out there. Anyone can go and get their house cleaned by someone, right, if they wanted to. The impact on health that having a healthy home environment has is so huge.
Yeah.
It can change everything about a family.
Yeah, it really.
You know, if you are, if you have allergies, you will already know this, right? But like, the impact on your, so if you don't feel well, I mean, especially people that have more serious like SIRS, mold issues and so on, the fatigue, I mean, people can't work.
Yeah.
They can't work. They can't do anything. They're chronically fatigued, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Not to say that cleaning your house is going to fix that whole problem. It's obviously a bit more complicated, but all I'm saying is that's an extreme version. But if you don't feel well, you don't sleep well, you snore, you're snuffly all the time, you're constantly needing antihistamines, all of this stuff, you cannot function at your best in the world. You're not as happy in yourself. You're not as tolerant with your people around you. You don't have the energy to do things you might really enjoy or want to do. Like, so the means to the end, this is not a cleaning company. I mean, it is, but it's just a means to an end of making people's lives better.
Exactly.
Because knowing what I know about health and the health of a home and how that impacts that health can change everything for people.
Yeah, I totally agree. It sort of feels more like a health service rather than a cleaning service.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, we meet lots of clients where it becomes normalized, all these weird symptoms that they have. They're like, oh yeah, it's normal for me to be blocked up all the time. I've had a blocked nose for 20 years. And it's sort of like, that's not normal. You can do something. You don't have to live like this.
I know. I talk to, you know, sometimes you feel like people are just going, oh my God, here she goes again. But I talked to someone today and they're exactly all that. So yeah. Saying all those things, and I'm like, okay, Belinda, just let it go. Just have a normal conversation. And I'm like, I just want people to know how much you can, it'll just change everything. You won't have all that anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's amazing seeing the change in kids as well. Once they start sleeping better, breathing better, they can participate in sports where they couldn't before because of the grass or sinus allergies, that kind of stuff. Like, it really does affect your life. It's not just an annoying needing to blow in your nose, you know?
Yeah.
It can 100%. Have major impacts. Yeah.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to leave it for today, but I think there might be a part two to this where we might go into a bit more mold info. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more that we can talk about with all of that, but yeah. And even just, I think it's a good idea because we can talk about, because there are things you can do yourself, and we didn't go over it so much today, but a lot of people, I think that mold is coming from, and it can, coming from a water event or like a leaking roof or a burst tap or a whatever. Mm-hmm. That is not where most of it's coming from. If you live in a humid environment, you are breathing in the house, mm-hmm. you're washing clothes and maybe drying them in the house, you're showering and cooking. That is where most of that humidity is coming from.
Yeah, exactly. So it can be very a normal event. It doesn't need to be like big water.
No. Yeah. And you can easily, by just doing, you know, half a dozen things, hugely impact the amount that moisture can impact your house, because you have to do those things. We're not going to stop breathing, sleeping, whatever.
Life.
but a few simple changes and you change the impact that has on the house.
Yes, I totally agree. So please do follow, if you're listening along and this all resonates with you and you do want to learn more, you can follow our podcast, which is Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, which is at natural.allergy.treatment. And Belinda's websites, I'll also pop in the description of this episode, but you can visit her eczema naturopath business, which is the eczemanaturopath.com.au. And the cleaning business is beyondcleanliving.com.au. And thanks so much for today, Belinda. I look forward to the next time.
Thank you.